make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased."
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this spring, winter and spring, we are going to be looking together at the gospel according to Luke. And there are a couple of theme things for you to keep in mind as we are reading Luke's gospel. And one of them is illustrated beautifully today. And it began sort of in a way that you might not just take some time to read. Henry read for us this morning. They're verses that you might throw away as being unimportant. In the days of when Tiberius was the emperor and Philip was a ruler and his brother Herod was also a ruler and Pontius Pilate was the governor, and Annas and Caiaphas are high priests, all of these different people. And in this time, the word of the Lord came to who? Emperor Tiberius?
Yes.
No. Pontius Pilate?
Oh.
No. Philip the Tetrarch? Herod?
Herod?
Maybe Herod's brother's wife, Herodias? Well, there sounds like a steamy story, but that one's going to have to wait for a few weeks. I promise we'll get to it. No. How about the high priests? Think the word of the Lord would come to them? Annas? Caiaphas? No. And no. So who does the word of the Lord come to? Some guy. John. John. He's not even Reformed. He's Baptist. Oh, come on, that's a joke, folks. All we know about John is that he's the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. We heard his story back in Advent, at least his birth story. But he's a nobody. And he's not in Rome. He's not even in Jerusalem. He's out in the middle of nowhere. He's in the desert. He's in the wilderness. And it's while he's out there that the word of the Lord comes to him. And when the word of the Lord comes to him, he becomes sort of like Elijah. Now, you remember Elijah from a few months ago when we were talking about the different prophets. Elijah, who speaks out against the rulers of Israel, right? And tries to call the people to repentance. So after that model comes John, a new Elijah, out in the wilderness to proclaim the ways of the Lord, to make straight paths for his coming, to fill in the valleys and to bring the mountains down to level ground, to make a level playing field so that all people can approach God on equal footing. It's in this context where the culture is ripe for a Messiah. As we've mentioned before, the people are longing for some relief from Roman oppression. And they've been reading their Bibles. So they know that help is coming, that God has promised for help. And so when someone shows up in the desert looking like John looks, well, Luke doesn't tell us. We know from other Gospels that he wears camel's hair and lets his hair grow real long and eats honey and locusts, like one of those Survivor Man shows that are on TV these days. He's this wild guy who's out in the wilderness and he's crying out against the rulers like Herod. And he's calling everyone to repentance. So of course, there are many who are going out to hear John's words, to be baptized by him, this sort of spiritual ritual of cleansing of sin. And what does he say to them? Does he say, "Welcome, you who are loved by God"? No, he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath?" Can you imagine walking into a church on a Sunday morning to hear words of encouragement, only to have the pastor stand up and say, "You brood of vipers, what are you doing here?" But the people, they love it. They keep coming. And not just the devout Jews, but tax collectors, soldiers. And what is it that John says to them? Quit your job as a soldier? It's a terrible occupation. Quit your job as a tax collector? They're no good Roman enthusiasts and sympathizers? No. He says, in whatever you do, just do it justly. Do you have two cloaks? Give one of them to someone who doesn't have any. You have more food than what you can eat yourself? Well, give it to somebody who doesn't have any. Tax collector, don't collect more than what is due. Don't line your own pockets on the back of someone else. Soldiers, just do your duty with diligence and respect for people. This is not rocket science. And we're not going to dwell on it real long, except to say, according to John, repentance, the fruit of righteousness, is simply living an ethical life. Tough to do, but fairly simple in principle. Of course, following, living your life like that and living according to the word of the Lord brings with it prestige, riches, comfort. No. John and the aforementioned condemning of Herod and Herod's brother's wife, that steamy episode we're going to get to a little while later, lands him firmly in prison. But it clears the way for someone else. A straight path has been made. And we're told that while everyone else is being baptized, someone else is baptized. Yes, in 1 week, 30 years have gone by. Last week, we had Jesus named and circumcised in the temple. Today, a week later, 30 years have gone by, and Jesus is now an adult being baptized. And when he is baptized, he hears a voice. Maybe all hear the voice from heaven. And a dove descends in bodily form, the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. And this voice from heaven says, "This is my son." Not John, whom you all consider might be the Messiah because of the wildness of his nature and the way that he's drawing a crowd, but not him, but this, Jesus, is my son, with whom I am well pleased. And this picture actually illustrates perfectly this relationship. Of course, we have Jesus there, the yellow halo. I think that's John the Baptizer there with the red halo. The Holy Spirit coming down in bodily form and this sort of sound wave coming out of heaven, all engulfing Jesus. Showing us, reminding us that along with Jesus comes right along with him the Holy Spirit and God the Father. At all times, there is no place where Jesus goes that the Father and the Spirit are not with him. There is no place that the Spirit blows that the Son and the Father are not present. There are no words that the Father speaks that are not bathed in the Holy Spirit and conveyed by Jesus, the Son. We see this in the waters of baptism. When we hold a child or have an adult kneel before the font, and we say the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Recognizing that in these waters are symbolized that baptism of Jesus Christ. But when we baptize someone, we don't do it alone. We don't do it in an empty church, but we do it recognizing the community of faith that is around us. In fact, before a child is baptized, what happens? The congregation stands together and makes promises to be the godparents of the child that is being baptized, to gather around the family to assist them in the raising of this child. Because in that eternal relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we see mirrored the community of faith. We see that just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally in relationship, so we as Christians are never alone, but always surrounded by those, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have this water of baptism as a reminder of that. The water that not only cleanses us of our sins and not only refreshes our spirits, but water that is transferred from one person to another, magnifying this eternal relationship. There's another symbol of that relationship present here in our church today. And the eagle eye might spot it. Can anyone see what it is? The table. Good, Cheryl. The table that has been prepared for us. In the liturgy of the table, which we will say together in just a few minutes, we're reminded that in this bread and in this cup, the Holy Spirit lifts our spirit to heaven to be in full communion with Jesus Christ and with God our Father. But we don't sit by ourselves in our own little closets to eat this bread and drink this cup, but we do it together as a family gathers around a table, as a community. And it's in the presence of others that we are reminded that just as God is never alone, so we are never alone. Just as God is eternally in relationship with God's self, so we are in relationship with God and with one another. Ruth said it really well. Jesus there at his baptism, Jesus there at the Last Supper, certainly is in relationship with the Holy Spirit and with God the Father. But he sits and dines with his disciples. He's there in the waters of baptism among the other crowds of people. It's always based on that relationship. It's always fully grounded in that relationship. And so the very first thing that is revealed to us about who Jesus is in this season of Epiphany is that Jesus is eternally in relationship with God and yet is humble enough to be fully in relationship with us who are sinners as well. Thanks be to God that God loves us so much that God would want to be with us in this way always. Let's pray together. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that in these symbols that we see, in these waters of baptism here at your table, that we see the relationship that you have enjoyed forever fully manifest. And we thank you that you welcome us to that table, to be full participants with you in the life that you have created here on this earth. We ask, Lord, that you would continuously remind us of how much you love us. Help us to never forget who you are, who we are, who you created us to be, and that you are always with us to the end of the age. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.